Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets, of writers, of lovers, of people who can speak, which I am not one apparently, of the written word and the spoken word. Welcome to the November 15th, 2019 edition of World Poetry Open Mic. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. Sitting across from me is the man who keeps everything moving. All his toes and fingers are doing something important all of the time, I am told, mostly by him. Welcome, Mr. JT. Hello, JT.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. And here's the thing. I got to compliment you on something publicly. I already did this earlier. Your beard is fantastic, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Now, how long has it been since you stopped shaving?
Maybe the beginning of October.
See, that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would never happen.
Once it starts growing, my beard has done a lot of transitions through the years, obviously, as they do. But once it starts, it's just like it's a slow ramp up, and then vroom, it just goes.
It's fantastic, though.
You know what? For you to see, I'm gonna try and grow it for as long as I can.
That's fantastic. I love this
just
idea.
Just to see how long it takes to get.
I feel like you're already in Middle Earth level.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to see where it goes farther.
I want that. I almost want that spot where I can braid it.
Yeah. Do you want a dwarven look? Is that what we're going for? Really?
Maybe. Maybe I'll just try for it. We'll see what happens.
I feel like that is something you could do and pull off with 100% integrity.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I would just thoroughly support this. The next thing we got to do, we got to get you to shave your head.
Oh, yeah.
And get earrings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, those
and
big
we'll be,
gold
we'll, then we'll
hoops.
Start, we'll hit the gym.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I agree.
Jacked with a huge beard. See what I mean?
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a great way to start the show out. But anyway, we're so happy everybody's here. We've been kind of keeping track of the chat room. JT and I sit here, you know, pre-show, and occasionally we'll look through and start laughing. Mama, you had me laughing. Dennis, Jim, it's not a thing. And Stan. Well, not Stan. Wait, not Stan. What am I saying?
No.
George. Zach, hello everybody. Yeah, good to see you here. my brain's like scattered here. So,
ooh, that was cool. Do that again.
So we need WD-40 here with this mic stand because it sounds like we have a whale.
Wow.
We have a whale in the studio now.
That was awesome.
It has its own reverb, which is even stranger. So tonight we're gonna have some great poetry. We're going to have a Studio X. We're also gonna have the next three clues of our November 2019 Poet of the Month. Ah. want to remind everybody this will be the last Friday. I did decide to leave it up one more time just in case because of just last week. If you have not downloaded the Tales from the Shining Sea, the Edgar Allan Poe album for free, it is there on the main page. If you go to worldpoetryopenmic.net and you click on the link that is just beneath the date and time of the next show, it'll take you to a page where you can download it and have it on your computer. If you already have, it'll be going away end of this weekend, and then it'll be officially up on like Apple Music and all that stuff, or Spotify and all those things. All right. So is there anything I need, before I get into rules and stuff, is there anything we need to cover? I mean, so really quick, let me ask you this, JT.
Okay.
You're speeding towards the end of the semester for you. Yes. You only have one more semester after this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you're ready to be done.
Am I?
So how's the week been? How was your last week?
This past week wasn't too bad. It was actually fairly decent. Monday night, I did not actually have a class. My instructor was sick.
Right.
But, this week's been
cruising. You know what's interesting? My brother had his professor was sick and didn't have class on Monday either.
I wonder if it's the same guy.
UCD?
No.
No. Different. Sorry. Different school?
Yeah, completely.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of weird.
This was a mathematician, though.
Well, he's a computer guy. I mean, math. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Ones and zeros.
Well, I mean, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Okay. Well, good. Good to hear. And I'm just finally rediscovering this is the biggest thing, the best thing I've done. The best thing I have done, JT, in the last X amount of months,
yeah,
is start really committing to eating well every meal, tracking it. I'm using an app called MyFitnessPal.
Right.
Fantastic. Tracking every meal I eat. I've been to the gym with an exception of one day, which I took as a day off on purpose. I've been to the gym every day, and I've been just really my fitness is already starting to come back. My cardio is measurably better after just a week.
Good.
And I mean, really measurably better. And my brain is suddenly locking back in. The creative work is starting to flow again. And started doing the podcast again daily, which I had just really struggling with, and now it just feels like a breeze. So I'm finding that's the crux right there,
okay,
man. Is that I think I need that little physical input.
Well, you
input.
Did take October off. Sorry.
I did. Wasn't that bad. But see, normally for everyone listening to the show, I normally take October off because I get really sick every year right around that time. This year it didn't happen.
Right.
I still worked, but I did take it easy.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, people want to hear. Do people want to hear about this? I don't think people want to hear about this. I don't think people really care. It's a bunch of silliness. People don't really need to worry about this stuff. Don't worry. You got your own things to worry about.
Okay.
All right. But before we get into it, though, I'm going to read the rules for the show. These are the ground rules, the things we ask everyone to observe as we're participating in the show in this community this evening. Number one, no hate speech. We never have that in our shows or our events. We never will. Number two, please skew PG-13 if possible. We have families and younger people who sometimes listen to the show. We might want to make this a friendly place for them. However, we're not in the business of censoring people, so if it's got a good artistic flow going, we might not jump in. However, if it is gratuitous, we do reserve the right to jump in and kind of just recommend you read it during an After Dark segment, for instance. Rule number three, please be prepared with your poem when we come on the line. It's just a respect thing and just keeps the flow of the show going better. We understand, of course, if you know a screen goes off or something like that, or you know, like if you have an iPad and suddenly something weird happens. But just try to be ready. Be best effort to be prepared. Rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. That's also just for the flow of the show. And the last one is for JT and myself. We love your comments. We love suggestions. We do take them. We take them seriously. Because of that, when they happen during the show, a lot of times we can't catch them and we don't remember them. So send them to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or put it in the contact form on the site at worldpoetryopenmic.net. And the reason for that is we'll forget them. That way we have them in writing, and we can actually approach them and talk about them at our next meeting. All right, so those are our five rules. JT, are we all ready to go? We go into the first segment?
We're good.
Great. Okay, we need five unique callers. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from,
you have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. I love the world and all the things it brings. One thing's for sure, dilly-dilly is not a thing. All right, everybody. Welcome back here in the first segment. I watched the chat room, Barbara. I watched the chat room trying to incite some stuff. I see what's going on over here. No, we got some great callers lined up here in this segment. We're really looking forward to it. And, of course, I forgot to mention we're going to have a Studio X this evening. And so that should be some fun as well. However, I'm going to say this. Well, actually, I'll save it for when we actually do the Studio X. I'll save my little thing.
All right.
Before that. So getting right into it, let's just head right into the calls. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, man. We're going to head to Michigan first and lead off with the man who's been with us, the legend, Dennis from Michigan. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, this is the legend speaking.
is that how you introduce yourself when you call everybody?
He needs to now, that's for sure.
Wow, what a great intro.
You actually, now thinking about it just now, JT, I think after you gained a ton of muscle and you grow a long beard and shave your head and put in earrings, we should just change your name to The Legend Gunter.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that.
We could try that, yeah.
How have you been this week?
I've been real good this week.
Wonderful.
Coping with everything. Everything's good. I can't complain.
Well, good. Happy to hear that. So what do you have to share with us this time?
I wrote a poem this morning. It's kind of on current events, but...
Okay.
I just let it rock and roll itself. So the title of this poem is The New Atlantis. Venice is sinking under the sea, much like the Atlantis of old, crumbling foundation and rising flood point to a watery grave on the threshold. Prominent politicians in denial of the climate change warming blight dismiss this theory as non-viable while Venice sinks out of sight. The dome of St. Mark's Basilica may still shine in its underwater grave. Rialto Bridge will grace that aquarium. There will be nothing left to save. What about the plaza and the noble people? Will legends of these souls persist as the folklore of brave Atlantis, or just disappear in a historical mist? End of poem.
Wow.
That was a great piece, Dennis.
It was a great piece about a tragic situation. I've been keeping up to date with what's going on there, and it's just heartbreaking.
Yes, Venice is one of the great treasures of the world, yeah. and it would be a shame to see it lost.
I agree, and I think you couldn't. I think there's very few people who would just kind of can discount it. You know, I think at some point we're going to have to start facing some hard facts, I think, as people and as humans here. And this is a sign that it's already here, but more is coming.
Yes. Yes. It's not going to get better before it gets worse. So we all better do what we can do, save what we can save, and make the best of the world we have.
Yes.
As it is.
Yes. That's right. And that is not even a political statement. The fact that it's even considered a political statement is crazy. That's just a let's take care of our world statement. Let's take care of each other and our in where we live.
It's the only one we've got right now.
Right now. And that's the only one.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's, planet Earth is home.
You got it,
so
sir.
We better take better care of it.
Yeah. That's pretty logical to me there, Dennis.
Actually, I should rephrase it the other way. The Earth will be fine with or without humans.
And other living things.
Right. Yeah. She'll be fine. It's just we should take care of our home. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Good point.
All right. Indeed.
Hey, Dennis, thanks so much. And we hope to talk to you during the return engagement, okay?
Yes, I invited some poets to be with us tonight, and I just have to see if they are able to, but we're trying. We're trying to build this up, make it stronger, get some new voices in here, and just keep rocking and rolling with the poetry.
Hey, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate that very much, and we're also making some moves to make that kind of thing happen as well. So thanks so much for everything you do.
Thank you. I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis leading us off, calling from Michigan. Yeah?
Close, but good enough.
You know, well, I mean, I figure Mr. Bombastic.
That's true. You got a good point.
Michigan. Michigan. Right? I mean, right?
Yeah.
How would a Jamaican say Michigan? Michigan. No, that's not it at all.
No.
My accents are really off tonight.
It happens.
A lot.
No, I wasn't going to say a lot. Just,
Yeah.
Only for the show.
Hey, fair enough. All right. Let's go now to upstate New York. Let's visit with our friend, Zach. Hello, Zach. How are you, sir?
Hello, my friends. How are you guys?
Doing very, very well. Happy to hear your voice. How's the week been?
It's been going good. The guy that I've been helping turn screenplay his book into a movie is going really well. In just under 3 weeks, I have turned 140 pages of book into 60 pages of screenplay, and I've just been going to town with it. And
are you enjoying it? Are you enjoying doing the work?
I am. It's just such a different thing, and I can stay out of my head, and I know that he really appreciates my work, and it just feels good to have someone appreciate your work like you guys here.
Well, we definitely appreciate the work that comes here, including yours. So, I'm just really happy to hear about your kind of writing odyssey as it's been going this year, mm-hmm. and just congratulations on everything. Keep going. You know, there's a lot of great space out there. There's a lot of words and stories and things that need to be written and people need.
Absolutely, and that's why we're here. That's why World Pod Pantry Mike is here to share those stories.
That's right. That's right. So speaking of that, what do you have for us?
Well, this week I decided to, I am on the autism spectrum. I am high-functioning autism. It's called Asperger's syndrome. And so I thought, why not write a poem about what it's like to be on the spectrum? So this is called Life on the Spectrum. Every day, I get out of bed and wait for work so I can stay out of my head. For 8 to 9 hours a day, I talk to people I barely know, but it's a big relief because I'm not the star of the show. When you live life on the autism spectrum, the mind can be a scary place. You question every decision you make, and just talking to people can make your heart race. It can make you feel alone, frustrated, sad, but it's not all bad. People on the spectrum see the world in a way most could never understand. It's beautiful, and we want you to experience it. That's why we reach out for your hand. We want to connect, but it takes a while to learn how. If you can be patient, when we're ready, we'll show you the world in a different way. I promise it'll make you say, wow. End of poem.
Very, very nicely done, sir. You know, I have not, I don't have what I would call anything near, you know, full understanding of the situation. However, one of my great friends, his son, had very severe Asperger's. And it's been, you know, he's such a wonderful, wonderful, you know, young man now. And it's been really, really special kind of, you know, knowing him and seeing how differently he has to process the world. So I have a lot of respect, I should say, for what you're writing about in that piece.
Yeah, I think the thing is that, you know, so many people are getting diagnosed with autism and everything that, you know, we just don't take the, we just aren't taking the time to understand what that means. There's this little stigma that it's like, oh, I'm so sorry that you have autism. No, it's not necessarily
right.
a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that we see the world in a different way. And, you know, honestly, that's what makes me a better writer. That's what makes me able to write so well is because I don't have to focus so much. I'm not focusing so much on how to talk to people. I'm focusing on how to tell people how I feel in poetry and writing. And that's why my creative process is so strong.
Well, we're happy that you're doing that, my friend, because we definitely benefit by it as well. So,
yes, we do.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, and thanks for sharing it. And we hope to talk to you during the return engagement.
All right, sounds good. I will talk to you guys during the return engagement.
All right.
I will step aside.
All right, sir. Thank you. We'll talk to you. Talk to you shortly.
Talk to you shortly.
All right. Bye. And that was Zach calling from New York. That's not how Mr. Bombastic would say
it. No, it is not.
Calling from New York.
All right.
Nah.
It's close.
You know, a friend of mine actually met him.
Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he met him in a hotel because he was on tour. And Christopher Walken was coming out of the hot tub room as he was going in.
Oh.
And Christopher Walken apparently walked by and goes, "That thing's hot. Alligator hot."
Well,
fantastic.
That's a great line, actually.
You know, you could say that about anything now.
You could, but yeah.
I think I'm going to. Do you dare me to use it at Applebee's tonight?
Oh, man. That's going to be. Yeah, let's do it.
It's hot.
Alligator hot.
And just see what the response is.
Yeah.
They just look at me with that look that they always give me, which is like, are you trying to be funny right now? Or is that. So, look, I get a lot, actually, to be fair.
Yeah.
This is why I'm single. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That is not why you're single.
All right. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. All right, let's go to. I'm gonna ask you why you think in a minute. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jim.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Hey. Uh-oh, did we lose him?
No, I think I know what it is. I think it's like clipping him out.
Oh, that's
what's
weird.
What's wrong with the bleeding thing that's doing that to me?
I don't know, Captain. I don't know.
I don't know. It's still a thing, laddie.
You get the impression that Scots end up having like ridiculous amounts of problems with all kinds of things that it just sounds like Scotty yelling at himself.
There's a story I'm going to have to tell you when I'm done with my poem.
Okay.
Today.
Okay, perfect. Well, how are you, sir, first of all?
Settling in. Still have stuff to get unpacked. As soon as I get bookcases, then I'll get taken care of.
Well, good. I mean, I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear you're in the new place. It seems like that's a healthy thing, and I know we're coming live from your new place, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I went from a two story house, half a house, to a two bedroom apartment.
Yeah, but how do you feel about it? Do you like the place though? Do you feel like you're going to be able to really kind of grow and develop there?
I think so.
Cool.
Yeah, it's I look out the one window. It's pretty much at the corner of two streets.
Okay.
So there's a restaurant right catty corner from me. There's a brewery and coffee house across the street from me.
Nice.
A grocery store, maybe 5 minute walk. There's a pizza place.
Jim, we're JT and I have just decided we're moving in over there.
All right. Well, well, if you do, you'll have to supply the root beer.
Okay. We can handle that.
I can handle that. Yeah.
JT is a strong root beer supplier.
Yeah.
Well, there's a particular brand I get. Appalachian Brewery Company makes their own root beer. It's with a hint of honey in it.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And you realize we live in Colorado, right? Which is like there's more breweries per capita than there are like cells in the human body, right? I mean, it's
the way it feels, isn't it?
All right. Anyway. All right, Jim. I'm going to let you read the piece. We'll talk after. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
This is one. It took most of a worship service to write this, because they were introducing a new praise and worship song titled "Death Was Arrested," and it kind of clicked with me. So I did something based on that idea. And like I said, it took most of the worship service to try and write it. So death was arrested. Death was arrested. Death was tried. Death was convicted. When my Savior died, when my Savior rose. Death will die. Death will die. Death will be put to death when my Savior returns in glory. End of poem.
Very, very cool. You know, Jim, I like the piece very much. You know, it's I don't know if you know this. I'm one of the ways I'm making my money nowadays is running a contemporary worship group here on Sunday mornings at a church here in Denver.
Cool.
And so I've been having to just dig in and learn all of the contemporary worship songs in the entire world. And there's a lot of them. And you know, because the subject matter is the same and there's a certain structure to it, the lyrics start to feel very redundant at points. I haven't heard Death Was Arrested, though. Like that at least sticks out enough that I'd be able to remember it.
It's actually a pretty good song. I don't remember the lyrics, but because I was too busy writing this piece.
Oh, I'm sure I could look it up. I'm sure I could find it. I've got all those things at my disposal. I have infinite power when contemporary I have databases I can look up. Databases, JT. I got binders full of some. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jim, now, did you have a short story you wanted to share with us at the very end very quickly?
Well, it's something I did today, actually, at work.
Okay.
I try something new with a patient. So usually when I go into a patient's room, it's like, Jim from the housekeeper, I'm here to lay down your room. Well, today, and for some reason, I just went with this. I don't have much, but what I've got is a specific set of skills. skills that would be a nightmare to something like you. So you don't let the girl go. I will look for you. I will find you, and I will kill you.
You threatened a patient?
The guy looked at me and said, "What line is that? What movie is that from?"
That's...
So I told, and then a nurse that was two rooms down outside, I heard her laughing. She heard the whole thing.
that is ridiculous and silly at the same time, and it makes me laugh very much. That's a you
have,
know.
Have you heard Seth MacFarlane's?
I have. I have. I can't remember it very well, but I definitely can.
But you know, he did it as Kermit the Frog.
Yes. Right. Right.
Yes.
Which was amazing.
Oh my!
You know that. I think there was this thing that I did for a while. I told JT, I think I told you this, where I'd be out with a group of people and they'd go, "So what's your story?" They just asked me, and so I would start telling the plot line to Breaking Bad.
That's
like
right.
it happened to me.
That's right.
And then you're like, when they caught on to that, and it would take them a while. And then when they caught on to that, I switched to like some other TV show, and I did that for a while. And I think I did Game of Thrones at one point. And it's just seeing how long it can be sustained before they're just like, "Wait a second." But anyway, That's the stuff I think that's the stuff that writers do to keep themselves entertained sometimes.
Well, when people ask me how am I doing this, I don't know, but when I find out, run.
Great answer. Great answer.
So I do it with the Scotches. I don't know, but when I find out, run, laddie, run.
Perfect.
And they just look at me and say, okay, yeah, whatever.
Well, hey, Jim, we gotta keep it moving, but I'll talk to you during the return, okay? Great job. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Now we're going to be leaving Jim in Pennsylvania. The Bonnie Lowlands of Pennsylvania.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Now we're going to go to Connecticut to visit with Barbara.
You're welcome. All right. Now we're going to be leaving Jim in Pennsylvania. The Bonnie Lowlands of Pennsylvania. Oh. All right, now we're going to go to Connecticut.
Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
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 Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Maybe I should speak in a Brooklyn accent.
You know, let's just go for broke. What?
You know.
Why not?
You know.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, wonderful. I'm pretty good. Knock wood. I've been writing, trying to get into nano, but not doing too great. I have like 6,000 words written, and I'm on chapter 23 of my third book, and so you know, in between. But
sure.
I had things to do, like. I had to bake 2 times this week.
No.
And I had my book club, and I had my Penn Women thing last week. So I haven't had much time to write. You know, it's just been, and then of course the hearings.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I've been keeping up with them.
The hearings have gotten me getting up early. You know?
It's funny. I'm working through them, but I'll be sitting there with, you know, pieces of paper on the floor laid out, and I'm working on things, and I'm just watching the hearings the whole time too.
Oh my God, it's like a new form of entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
Whoa.
it's
come on, let's see what else can happen in this country. Oh, are we about to, you know, fall off the deep end?
I think.
Did this really happen? Is this a TV show?
Well,
no.
Well, yeah, but Barbara, not to, you know, let's not go full down that road, because, you know, obviously.
No, we won't.
But
I'm going to read my poem.
Well, hold on,
yeah,
though, really
I'm
quickly.
I'm going to read my poem. Yeah, so, I'm going to read my poem for this week for the garden, which was late because of various events, like I told you. I had to bake twice, whatever. And this is the prompts for it were ubiquitous and serendipity, and I did the prompts, as you can imagine, considering serendipity seems to be my word. And the quote is, you cannot change the past, but I dare say you might learn something from it, and it's written by Time. Ooh, Time. So, my poem is called, and if someone doesn't know this word, they should look it up, ubiquitous, because it's in the poem very frequently. And it means, I'll tell you, it means all-encompassing. And serendipity is a moment of complete happiness, something that changes, that rocks your world. Okay, so the ubiquitous effect of a moment of serendipity. Certainly a moment of serendipity can set off waves of happiness, much like the ripples on a mirrored lake when you throw a rock and the water creates circles in ever-widening sizes. Your life can be affected this way by the choices you make. You think back to past experiences and wonder why at that moment you decided to change your path. A delightful addition to your life created a momentary wonder of serendipity, and your senses reacted as the ripples in the lake to that catalyst that catapulted you from your same ordinary day to an extraordinary one in a minute. a chance touch with serendipity, created a ubiquitous change as you realized nothing would ever be the same, and your whole being only knew this must last forever as you careened on the endorphins created by this wondrous experience of serendipity. You were alive as never before and on point, waiting to enter from the offstage of your viewpoint, not knowing the consequences, but knowing that soon all would be changed, and you were open, an amorphous vessel to gather in all that was going to happen. You didn't know what, but your senses alerted you to this ubiquitous change in your existence, creating a feeling of endless joy that seemed to last forever. You glided on it, and it cushioned you. For a while, it was all you saw. A ubiquitous haze surrounded you each day. It propelled you to experiment and venture forth, to try new things and to give yourself wholly to the one who had created it. And though the haze evaporated, the view was always clear and true of the lips, face, body, and mind of the man who had given you this moment of serendipity, so ubiquitous it lasted beyond his lifetime. End poem.
It was a very passionate piece there.
Yeah, thank you. This was exactly what the idea of creativity is. I first thought of something, I thought of the title, then I thought of something to go sort of with this old title, then change the title, and then thought of something with this new title. And then it just all came.
That's, you know, you're right. I mean, that is a really, that's how it's done.
Yeah, it's just like, you think you want something, then you throw it out, and then you put something else in, and then it clicks. You know, it's like, it just clicks. And then
it's like me trying to put on a seatbelt in the morning, to be honest.
Okay.
My seatbelt doesn't work. But when it's cold here, my seatbelt likes to stick. So I have to, like, try to just make it work until it clicks.
Oh, okay. So I did have something interesting happen in my life.
What?
That, well, you might appreciate it being a broadcaster.
Okay.
Our network is called Red River Radio.
Right.
And so I have RRR in front of my show.
Okay.
Well, we got a cease and desist letter from this guy whose name was Kermit L. Pohl, I think his name, Kermit L. Pohl, who said that he ran a network called Red River Radio, and it was part of PBS in Louisiana and attached to University of Louisiana, and that it had been there for 35 years, and that people who were looking for their programs were confused because of our network.
Interesting.
And he said that we have to change our name. So we have now changed our name. We feel that it's one that nobody has, and it's called Books and Entertainment Network.
Okay.
So it's really cool because now in front of my show name, I can have my initials, B-E.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
They didn't even realize it when they thought of the name, but now it's B-E, Tales from the Pages.
Well, awesome. Now, you're still spelling Tales the same way, T-A-L-E-S, right? Not T-A-L-S?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Tales, not Tails.
Oh, well, that clears it up. Thanks, Barbara. Well,
anyway, I guess you have another person, so yes. I'm going to get off the phone and
this show exists,
let that other person go.
In other places too. Okay. All right. Hey, thanks,
Barbara. Did ask this guy that I speak with, who is a poet, to come, but I don't know if he will. So,
well, tell him thanks a lot, and hopefully he does. Otherwise, thanks for nothing. No, I'm kidding. Thank you so much, Barbara. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you during the return. Okay.
Okay, yes. Right,
thank you.
Okay, great.
And that was a Barbara calling from Fantasy, Connecticut, All right. Now, this next caller I've heard is Living Large. So,
just shouting it from the mountaintop in the chat room.
Laugh. That made me laugh before the show.
It was really good. Yeah.
Well, let's go now to Mama Oladeji in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Mama. Oh, no.
Oh,
Mama,
you're
gonna... Okay, so Mama, we're having that Skype issue again. If you could hang up and call us right back, we can take it live. Sorry about that. All right. Now, really quickly.
I love the fact that she's just on it.
Yeah,
look
she's
at that.
Straight
See,
on
look
it.
At
there
this.
We... Perfect. Here we go.
See? Boom.
Hello, Mama.
No, that's not me. That's not me living by it. That's Jim. He got a new apartment. I'm over here. Careening on endorphins.
Oh, okay. We thought you were saying you were living large because you're talking in all caps.
Careening on endorphins.
Oh, I see. Okay. Fair enough. You can never tell with poets what's going on. You know that? We're talking about tales, and like it's just a different thing. So,
her place said she was careening on endorphins.
Yes.
I missed that.
Careening on endorphins, or you can also be endorphins, or in dolphins, and that's a whole other problem. Anyway.
Well, that was an awesome wordplay, and congratulations on your new place, Jim. Yeah.
Yes, congratulations, Jim. Really.
Okay.
So, what do you have? We'll talk after. I'm going to give you the stage, okay?
You always say that, and you never do. So, anyway, I don't even care.
Hey, what are you talking about? I never do. What are you talking? Like, I do it all the time.
The name of the speech is called Ashes to Ashes. If all of me sums up to a pile of smoldered ash, then all of me could fit into a glass. And if that's all I amount to on this earth, I pray my soul finds everlasting worth. Cause who Jah bless, let no man curse. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Afraid of the fiery lake? Will God open up the gate? Pray I did not wait too late to say, forgive me what I've done wrong. I can tell when the Almighty has my back. I can tell when he intervenes, like today when I called the bank. And no one ever called me back. The statement stated an overdraft. Yet South Africa had a cyclone draft. Media said 150 people died. But my friend Ann said that's a lie. It was more like 1,000 lost their lives. Frantically, I called back the bank to ask about the overdraft they sent, worried that I had overspent. To my surprise, they said, there's none. I said, really? Why did you send us notice? She said, the day it was sent, the money came in. I said, oh, my God, you're still my friend. I asked no more questions, but I just said a prayer about God sending me money out of nowhere. Then it. Trying hard to keep my nose clean. Trying real hard while here. I want to amount to more than just dust on this wretched earth. I don't want to slack before I die. Don't want to be cast into the eternal fire. Don't want to worry about my spiritual deficit paying my dues while I'm on earth. I pray my soul finds favor in the afterlife where it counts. More than mere dust do I want to amount. As I sing my eternal dirge, continue to shine your light on my feet, I urge. If all of me sums up to a pile of smoldered ash, if all of me could fit into a glass, if that's all I amount to on this earth, I just pray my soul finds everlasting work and peace.
I think it was very beautifully done.
I enjoyed that.
Thank you. I've missed you guys.
We've missed you too. How you doing? What's been going on?
Well, I got a 90-year-old mother sister that's taking care of her that's not doing too well. I'm not doing too well. But I guess that's why I'm worried about my afterlife. I noticed I've been writing a lot of poems about my afterlife. So the next one I'm going to do is called Is There a Hell?
Oh, yeah, really? Well, bring that. We want to hear that too. But I mean, I think that's something we all deal with eventually, is those thoughts and kind of process and think about a lot of it, you know. So
I'm gonna pull that one up for the return engagement.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
And tell the bearded man, I said, "Hey,
hey, bearded man." All right. Mama, thank you so much, and you know we're thinking about you. We hope you get to feeling better. We hope your mom is, you know, your mother does the best she can and is in the best situation she can. I know it's hard.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. It's just a trials and tribulations. So all we can do is look forward to making it over that hump.
Yeah,
taking our baggage into the next life with us. So I'm trying to do a lot of meditating, praying, and repenting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. All right, Mama. Well, hey, thank you. We'll talk to you in the return, okay?
Yeah, right. Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you. And that that was Mama Olutechi calling from Cleveland, Ohio. You know what phrase comes to mind after that?
Yes.
Is Mama don't like me and she likes everyone. All right. All right. You know what time it is, JT?
I got a pretty good idea.
It's time to batten down the hatches, grab me some grilled chicken, and make way for the next three clues of this month's Poet of the Month. That's good chicken. All right, so just for those who need a reminder of what we're doing here, for the first few weeks of each month, we share three clues of a poet's identity. We don't tell you who they are. Then the third show, we kind of present the identity of who the person is. Now, last week we gave three clues. Here are the three clues from last week. Number one, from the King's City, north to new lands. Clue number two, deepest thoughts in diary formed. Clue number three, in London, the mind was rounded. And here's this week's three clues. Clue number one, heaven needs better cell service. Okay? As in cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two, a pen of flames. And three, equality for each person. One, heaven needs better cell phone. I'll just put phone in, you know, service. Two, a pen of flames. Three, equality for each person. Those are the second set of clues for this month's Poet of the Month. Yeah. All right, everyone. It's time for us to do segment two. We need five more unique callers, and we want to see who we can get in this segment here before we go to Studio X and the return engagement. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Christine.
Why?
Last night, I woke up in the middle of the night. I saw light coming out of my pocket.
Uh-huh.
There's a UFO in my pocket.
There's a UFO in your pocket?
Yeah.
Did you hit it?
Yeah, but its weird string came out. I hold on to the string, goes flying across the room, comes right back in my face.
Do you duck?
No, I'm a human.
Maybe the aliens turned you into one.
A duck?
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
I totally understand that logic.
Oh.
All right. Hey, well, we had two awesome callers call in during the segment, and I'm looking forward to getting into it. Should we just jump in? Should we just do this thing?
Let's just do it.
Let's do this
thing. Like we know what we're doing.
Let's pretend like we know what we're doing. Hey, you know what, guys? Everybody listen. You know what? Just a few weeks from now. Just like, what, three weeks from now? 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
We're turning 7 years old.
We're going to be seven. Oh,
World Poetry Open Mic is going to be 7 years old. That means we're going to be old enough to be in second grade.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep. So 7 years old, it's a long time on the air. That's a lot, as we said on Wednesday when we got together, it's a lot of Friday nights.
A lot of Friday nights.
And I'm really glad we stopped going to like Denny's and Village Inn and stuff
so
afterwards.
Am I.
Yeah. It's much better.
Much.
Yeah. Even though it's still Applebee's, hey.
Hey, food quality.
You put two of those things next to each other, we're going with Applebee's every time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. We need to get a sponsorship from them.
We really do. Making it good in the neighborhood.
All right. Let's head to our first caller here. Let's go back to Michigan. A good friend of the show, George. Hello, George. Good evening.
Maybe.
Hello, George.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm just fine.
Good.
Just fine. I had a little bit of a little, last week, a little bit crappy, but that was just some, that wasn't anything.
It just happened.
So, just happened.
Yeah.
Just happened. We had some school, I'm good. I'm really good. Just,
happy to hear that.
Like you and Barbara are talking about the, I watch a lot of cable news.
keeping score,
putting people on my death list.
Somewhere there's some guys like that person too.
I mean, okay. if he can intimidate witnesses, I can intimidate witnesses.
Wait a second.
Anyway,
I love the logic.
Oh,
JT's enjoying this a little too much.
Oh, sorry.
What I do without it.
Yeah, yeah.
Pardon?
No. I say JT's enjoying that humor a little too much. I can completely appreciate it. It's a pretty, you know, whatever side you're on of it, it's a pretty historic kind of thing to be looking at. There's a lot of really interesting things, and I think, in my personal opinion, it's not even about the politics itself. I think it's really, I mean, yes, it is about this particular person. However, I think what's even more important is things like executive overreach. And if we let certain things become normal, then it happens when someone you don't agree with comes into office later, it becomes a real problem. So there's a lot at stake.
Absolutely. It's more this issue, more than party politics and partisan politics. It's really more to do about principles and ethics and things like that.
Yes.
So that's why I'm so much into it, because I see it as a very abnormal year. But anyway, I'm not gonna my thing is about winter.
All right.
This is called the icy shards of winter. The crusted winds of boldness assaulting the The crusted winds of boldness assaulting down the lands with penetrating crassness, red frosted cheeks and hands. The hurried clouds that parent, the blistered icy shards, the chilling unrepentant with arctic disregards. I knocked upon your portal, bid you to join my walk. But soon your hands were brittle, you could but barely talk. We hustled back accordingly, our fortitude we shed. 'Tis better to be timid warm than very bravely dead. A love that thaws a frozen heart still fails to quell this season. I've never seen a poem smart enough to kill this freezing. End of peace.
Yeah, I really did like that one. Especially, and not even talking in metaphor here, I've had some experiences with freezing already. But right now, right now it's like, you know, 60 some degrees right now. It's gonna be beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know all about this. You hear the weather out here a lot, don't you?
Well, I talk to my family a lot, and I also read the weather sometimes for Denver.
Yeah.
And I get all those pictures of the family out in the mountains because they spend all their time out there. They come down to Earth once in a while, and just long enough to look out across at us flatlanders and mock us, you know.
Is that what it is? I saw your granddaughter who broke her leg is already kind of up and doing stuff again, isn't she?
Yeah, you saw that.
I did.
Yeah, she just broke her leg about 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, something like that. You know, she's 13.
Yeah.
And they heal like, you know, they heal like
nobody's business, yeah.
And anyway, she was doing mountain biking and she broke it. But now she wants to do this winter season of indoor, you know, climbing. And she competed last year very well. And now she can't wait to get back. So she was going up the gym there with one leg in a cast. So she was just going up, you know, three out of four things working on the rocks, the two hands and one foot. And of course they tether you and,
yeah.
All of everybody in the gym is basically insane, but they anyway. They and my wife says these people aren't right. So you go in and you look up, and if you look down, the person's probably dead. But if you're looking up, they're all over the place, and you know they actually seriously. And, you know, I sort of understand it. I wish I didn't have such a thing. You know, we climbed the water tower to pee on the town. It was about all we did, kids.
And everybody understood.
That's right.
Everybody understood why those stupid kids are climbing that water tower at night. But she's speech of a kid, and glad to see she's pretty tough.
That's a cool quality. It's good quality.
That's some of those you mountain people, you know.
We kind of do like it out here. We kind of do like it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know, and JT's family Christine's family is in this area, and it is. I was traveling out east. I think I talked about that. A couple of weeks ago, and I came back, and that's where we went, of course, up into the mountains, the Whites and the Green Mountains and such, and the Adirondacks. We came down, I say we came down because that's how it feels, to the plains of Ohio and Michigan, you know. whenever I'm in Colorado, I feel the same way, sort of like falling down into the muck of flatlanders. That's where our jobs are. That's where our families are. So we make the best of it.
Absolutely. Well, hey, there's beautiful things everywhere. All right. Well, hey, George, thank you. We'll talk to you during the return.
Yeah, I think so. Take care.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you then. And that was George calling from Michigan. It's just great catching up with people. I'm sorry I'm taking a little bit longer tonight. Some of these conversations here. The only reason I'm apologizing is, one, to people who are waiting on the phone, but two, I don't have to, but I'm saying it to tell JT I'm aware that I'm talking longer because I know that he times it. He keeps things. He's really responsible for a lot of the flow of the show. There's a lot, like I've said, there's a lot going on behind the scenes here, and including tracking how long we talk on things, and it helps us. And so I'm just acknowledging that I'm aware of what's going on. All right. So I saw something in the chat room real quick. There's a question that was in the chat room where Eric is. And we sent our crack team of assistants out, and we actually have located him. So now we're going to go live to Eric in Texas. Hey, good evening, Eric. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing real well. Real well, man. Happy to hear your voice.
Oh, thanks. I know it's been forever. Sorry, I've just been working really late, and I'm working on my own project, too.
Hey, yeah. We understand. We know. It's completely understood.
Right. Awesome. But thanks for understanding, and I'm trying to hit the show as much as I can.
That's awesome, man. We look forward to having you whenever we can. But let me ask you this. What do you have for us this evening? Let's talk after, okay? So what do you have for us?
Okay. United States of America's Veterans Day. And Monday was Veterans Day. I wrote a poem about it.
All right.
All right, you ready? Okay, cool. United States of America's Veterans Day. Sing of them and to them, commemorate them, give praise unto them, offer gratitude to them by shaking their hands and thanking them for their service for our country. Put the American, the POW, and each military branch's flag at half-mast on the flagpole. Write down their stories and share them with others in speeches, poetry, and prose. Read their experiences during war in their own poetry and prose to get a better understanding exactly what they went through. Allow active duty and reservist military servicemen and women and veterans to eat for free at certain restaurants on Veterans Day. Have military discounts to show them appreciation for their service. Offer aid to the veterans that want to commit suicide every day. Offer aid to all the homeless veterans as well. Realize that shell shock and post-traumatic stress or disorder are both real things to most every veteran. But they are trying to learn to cope and not mope about it. Have ceremonies with food for them. Have parades for them. Do 21-gun salutes for them. Exonerate them for their sacrifice and hardship throughout war and still surviving through it. Do every living active duty reservist and Army soldier, Navy sailor, Air Forceman, and Marine veteran from whichever wars they fought in for their freedoms and ours. Never forget what these men and women have done for us, especially our country. They put themselves in harm's way in order to protect our country and our freedom. Without their sacrifices, the United States of America probably wouldn't be as it currently is and has been since its beginning. As a United States of America's Navy veteran, I definitely feel and care for the welfare of all active duty reservists, military service members, and veterans that are suffering, that aren't receiving what they were promised in their contract when they signed up to join the military. That's empty.
Very well done, sir. Very well done. I can share all that very, very much. I share those the sentiments about what the veterans have given, and that's also that day also happens to be my brother and my father's birthday as well. So it's,
oh wow,
it's
awesome.
A pretty 11/11. That's a pretty significant thing, huh?
Yeah, it is. That's awesome. But, yeah, I actually have lots of family members that are already dead too. They were veterans during their time.
Sure.
And I have most of my siblings were veterans, except for two of my sisters and one of my brothers. So.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a meaningful, it's a meaningful thing for you. And
yes, very.
It's
real close to heart for him. He's a veteran. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Hey, Eric, that was really meaningful, man. We're going to be doing a return engagement here after Studio X. Will you be calling us back, trying another one?
Yeah, actually I am. I'm going to try to eat real quick. My dad just made a steak and potatoes. So.
Awesome. Oh. Well, enjoy that, man, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Will do.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Talk to you in a minute.
Talk to you in a minute. Bye. And that was Eric calling from Texas, running out the second segment here. We're getting ready to head to a place called Studio X as soon as JT's ready. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. amazing how it changes into reverb and everything so quickly, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, let me change the songs I'm actually going to do. So I have to actually I have to say something to Monsieur Denis at this point. And the reason I got to say this is, so the way that our email's been laid out is just completely flipped on me, and sometimes it hides things that come from the.
Yeah,
like it's really strange. You've noticed this.
Yeah.
So I prepared these songs thinking, well, you know, Dennis hadn't really sent any songs. Turns out he did, like a week ago, and I just didn't see it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'll do the songs I'm doing tonight. I'm going to take the songs that were recommended. I'll do those if everybody's okay with it. I'll do that next week. Okay. So we'll go from there. And yeah, but these are some fun songs. Hopefully it'll be good. You know, this is about refreshing, fun stuff. There's a lot of serious things going on in the world. Let's just have a good time. Okay. All the times that you rained on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my name, you think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, but I ain't. And I didn't want to write a song, 'cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't. But you still lit my phone up, and baby, I'll be moving on. And I think you should be something I don't wanna hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you, and she like everyone. And I never liked to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on. But now I know I'm better sleeping on my own, 'cause if you like the way you look that much, then baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. When you told me that you hated my friends, the only problem was with you and not them. And every time you told me my opinion was wrong, and tried to make me forget where I came from. And I didn't want to write a song, 'cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't. But you still hit my phone up, and baby, I've been moving on. And I think it should be something I don't wanna hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never liked to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on. But now I know I'm better sleeping on my own, 'cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. 'Cause if you like the way you look that much, so baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. All right, there you go, there's one. I've never played that song before in my life. All right, huh?
Well done.
Yeah, thank you, sir. All right, but here's a song. Man, I was driving down the street, right? And there's all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of construction and all kinds of crazy things going on. And I just been listening to or watching the impeachment, you know, proceedings and all that. And I just turned this on, and it was just like I was telling you, it's like a breath of, you know, a breath of fresh air, a Fresh.
I like that, too.
You like that one? So I figure I'll just kind of do this, and I've never done this before either, but it's kind of fun, and screw it, and let's just have a good time. All right, here we go. Grab this right here, 1 second. Almost was ready. He's a poor boy. Yeah, there we go. Got it right. Sorry, I had to grab one more thing here. Okay. She's a rich girl. She don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of his shoes. He's a poor boy. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. He got diamonds on the soles of his shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. He got diamonds on the soles of his shoes. Diamonds on the soles of his shoes. Diamonds on the soles of his shoes. Man walks down the street. Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot at redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. A bone digger, bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my welded tour. Mr. Beer Belly, Beer Belly. Get these mutts away from me. You know, I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be a long-lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention. And whoa, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? Duck down some alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me out, call me out. Man walks down the street, his street in a strange world. Maybe it's the third world, maybe it's his first time around. He doesn't speak the language, he holds no currency. He is a foreign man. He's surrounded by the sound, cattle in the marketplace, scatterings and orphanages. He looks around and around. He sees angels in the architecture, spinning in infinity. He says, amen and alleluia. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be a long lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me out, call me out. JT, you want to do a conga solo? We'll do na-na, ready to go. Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na-na. Na 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 na. Here, one more time. Here we go. If you be my bodyguard, I can be a long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty. When you call me, you can call me out. You can call me out. You can call me out. That was fun anyway. I don't know.
Enjoyed it. They enjoyed it.
Oh, good. I'm glad someone enjoyed it. Oh my gosh. What do you think? Should I do another one? I don't. I'd have to throw one out and just do a real random one. What do you think?
If you got it.
What do you guys think in the chat room? Do you guys think I should do another one?
Yes, another please from Dennis.
Well, son of a...
Of course, from Zach.
I did not expect that answer. Okay. it's like, get out of the... Okay. Here, let me...
Yes, from Barbara. Do you want me to keep on going?
No, that's fine. That's
yes,
fine.
From Mama. In caps.
Of course, it's in caps.
I know it's
in Mama, caps. I wasn't making fun of you for writing in caps, but, you know.
No.
But now I... No. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do one that is just really a left turn because it's fun. Why the hell not?
All right.
It's a left turn for some people with me anyway. We'll see how it goes. Just getting the lyrics pulled up so I don't forget. Let me check. I'm a roving cowboy, riding all day long. Tumbleweeds around me sing their lonesome song. Nights underneath a prairie moon, I ride along and sing this tune. See them tumbling down, ledging left to the ground. Lonely but free I'll be found, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. Cares of the past are behind, nowhere to go but I'll find, just where the trail will wind, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. I know when night is gone that a new world's born at dawn. I'll keep rolling along. Deep in my heart is a song. Here on the range I belong. Drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. I know when night is gone that a new world's born at dawn. I'll keep rolling along. Deep in my heart is a song. Here on the range I belong. Drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweeds. Drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweeds. All right. And there we go. All right, so it's time for the return engagement. Anybody who wants to call in and share another piece can do it. Anybody who wants to call and share the piece for the first time tonight can do it. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back here at the return. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We're back here at... Okay.
The return!
Okay, all right. All right, let's try this again. Here we go. All right, everyone, we're back here at... The return engagement!
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 Like a glove.
One of these days we're going to get this. One of these days we're going to be fantastic at this.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Yeah, so good, so good. All right, so we've got some great callers lined up here. We've got, what, 6 callers lined up?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Very nice. By the way, I'm just going to give a quick reminder. Our anthology is almost to the presses. It's so exciting. My goal is I think it'll be hitting the bookstores like the week after Thanksgiving. Might even be the week of it, Thanksgiving. Of course, we'll let everyone know. I mean, everyone will know 100% of the time, but it's so close, guys. It is so close to coming out, and it's turned out awesome. So much cool work. There's some new things in this anthology. Some things we're doing that we haven't done in previous anthologies. Mm. It's really, really cool. So I'm looking forward to putting this out. I think it's going to be a great, great thing to kind of cap off our year here.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking about really quickly before we get into this. We talked about this kind of doing a part of a show as we get closer to the new year, having like a just as part of a theme of the show, a creative like New Year's resolution. So it's only New Year's resolutions for creative stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, like,
yeah.
What's a project you might want to do, or what's something you know what I mean? And then that way we can do is we can kind of do it all together. And that way we can actually ask a few months in when everybody starts kind of losing, go, hey, what kind of help do you need? How's it going? What kind of, how can we support each other in this? That might be a really cool thing to do. But in the meantime, let's head into, not even in the meantime, this is the main event. Let's go to return engagement. The first caller we've got here is Dennis from Michigan. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Yes, I'm back.
Well, and thanks for keeping the chat room in line down there. I think that was... They get wily.
I do what I can do.
Yeah, they get wily in that room, I'll tell you. Well, thank you so much for everything you're doing anyway. And how about this? We'll talk about the piece and everything after, so I'll just sit back and give you the floor.
All right. Well, the poem I have this time is a cover. It was written by Mr. Ogden Nash. And the title is The Stigmatic Naturalist, and it's subtitled The Caterpillar. I find among the poems of Schiller no mention of the caterpillar, nor can I find one anywhere in Petrarch or Baldiere. So here I sit in extra session to give my personal impression. The caterpillar, as it's called, is often hairy, seldom bald. It looks as if it never shaves. When it walks in waves. And from the cradle to the chrysalis, it's utterly speechless, songless, whistleless. End of poem, a poem by Ogden Nash.
I got to say, I love his turns of phrase, Dennis, and a great read of it. I love the from the cradle to the chrysalis. It's fantastic. What a great deceptive cadence, you know.
Yes. He's a very entertaining poet.
He
writes a lot of funny stuff.
That is true. And but I think you reading it really really helped it kind of take on a great life as well. So so thanks for sharing it with
us. I hoped it went well. So thank you. Thank you very much.
It did. You know, you're very, of course. And, all right. And so so I guess we'll talk to you next week, huh?
I should hope so.
All right. Well, I'll be here. JT will be here. So hopefully we'll. we'll talk then, and thank you for everything as well. And yeah, just we can't express that enough.
Well, thank you. We couldn't do it without you two. You are appreciated. All right. I'm going to step aside. Let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. I saw a celebrity mean tweet little thing pop up.
Uh-oh.
Perry Farrell reading it saying, how crazy are you on a scale from 1 to Perry Farrell? And I've met and hung out with Perry Farrell, and the dude is nuts. He's really fun. I mean, anybody who doesn't know who we're talking about, he is the lead singer of this band called Jane's Addiction. It's been around a long time. And I met him nearly 10 years ago in Aspen at the Belly Up.
Mm.
And I was backstage with them, and I was interviewing him for something. And it was Dave Navarro was there. He was pretty down to earth, strangely enough.
Okay.
Most of the guys were really down to earth. Perry Farrell was just on a different planet, man. he's kind of out there the way you see Gary Busey is out there.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Wow, okay.
But we're really sweet guy.
Yeah.
So it just caught me because I was like, yeah, I kind of remember that. He was in his own little planet, which I love, though. Creative people need to be in their own world. We're creating a new world, right? That's the whole point. Speaking of someone whose words have power and really bring something great to us every time. Let's go to Mama Ladeji in Cleveland, Ohio.
Creating a new world, right?
Yes, hold on.
Speaking of someone whose words have power.
It's all right.
And,
All right,
here we are. Hey, Mama, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I love the dramatic ending, and you just held that note. That was awesome.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, it made me change my piece.
Oh, no.
I just started going through my stuff. And, like, the age I am now, a lot of my really good friends are leaving here. And I'm a person that really writes about people when they leave some type of impression on me.
Yeah.
And I was just doing my piece, looking for the poem that I told you I was going to read. And I have a funeral to go to tomorrow. A friend of mine passed away. And it's on my page under my new name. Well, my maiden name is Harrington.
Yeah.
So instead of Vicky Aqua, look for Vicky Harrington. You know that because I sent you that that poem. I sent you that poem about Don't Sing. I thought it was really funny. I thought you would enjoy that.
I did.
Yeah. So I sent you that. So you know my new name. So if you want to see the person that passed away. So while I was looking through my pieces to do something for you, I came across this piece called What Did You Dream Last Night? And this poem was about the most extraordinary old man that I ever met. And I was just crazy about him. And he was the type of person that just did everything. He just was here and there, all over the place. He did a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But the one thing he did very well that impressed me was he played saxophone. Now, when I met him, he was already in his late 70s. He was still working in the salt mine, playing the saxophone, and painting houses.
Wow.
And his hobby was playing the numbers. And every time you would see him, he would ask you maybe five or six times during a conversation, what did you dream last night? And that's the name of the piece. Just one moment. What happened? Okay, here we go. No. Like you said, the name of the piece is What Did You Dream Last Night? So I got to go back to the chat room and turn the thing off. Okay. Yeah, all systems are gone. Okay, here we go. What did you dream last night?
I blow my saxophone strictly for the pleasure. It's my gift from God, one of my many treasures. I took care of all of my 8 children. Some have college degrees. I take things like they come. I'm never hard to please. Took care of my dear old dad, though he neglected me. And I used to steal moonshine to help my old granny. Long ago, I did that stuff. Myself, still a boy. No small stuff do I sweat. No strangers have I met. Hard work, hard play, moving obstacles out of my way. I love my wife. I love my life. Hey, what'd you dream last night? Dave took his saxophone with him as an extension of himself. I love to see him uninvitedly command the stage. He just get in where he fit in. God, I love my music. My music I love, by God. 70 years old I am, still working in the mine. Hey, what'd you dream last night? When he hits the number, he's doing what God asks, doing what God loves, sharing and caring. Blow, David, blow your horn against all odds, against all adversaries. What a good brother. Hey, that's my husband. Hey, that's my dad. Hey, that's my Uncle Dave, loving his own and others. Passion in his saxophone. He said to write a poem, especially for him. I call him Uncle Dave, you see, but he's really just a friend. He's amazing, and I'm so glad I did. That's it.
A fascinating piece. I like that. I like the music at the beginning there, too.
I didn't have time to find the solo saxophone that I wanted. That he would jump up on stage with anybody. Like, had a little saxophone ready.
Well, that's
he
cool.
Was good.
Well, great.
He was good.
Well, that's good, yeah, because a bad saxophone player is like demonstrably worse than most other instruments. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, he was good.
Well, that's good.
And he was like, and when he got up there, he was just kind of mosey up there, just go and take out his sax. I don't care how big and famous the band was, he wasn't booked or nothing. But when he got up there, all eyes was on him because he played that saxophone.
Yeah, I love Fights that.
Been out on all day painting houses. He just had so much energy. And I just knew I would love him through the poem, so that's why I said, you know, I decided to read that one, you know.
Yeah. I am, I'm appreciative of for you for sharing that piece specifically, because I feel like it was just that really just was kind of a lift. It felt really good, but also, I'm kind of honored and humbled that's something that you were inspired to do because of playing. So thank you for that too.
Yeah, when you were singing and then you did that dramatic end, it was like, wait a minute. So I was just looking through my stuff for us. I don't want to read no poem about is there hell. And then that popped up. And like I said, I don't even know if David's still living or not. That could be a sign for me. So it brought about a lot. And, you know, all of you out there who know me, be careful because I might write a poem about you one day.
That's a thing. You know, JT, we don't really think about that. You're like, there's probably a lot of people like, you know, some people are like those jerks from World Poetry Open Mic. You know, it's just
yeah. No, never that.
Well, I appreciate it.
If I got a bone to pick with you, I'm gonna pick it before I write.
There you go.
That's fair. That's very fair.
It's very fair, and please do that because we're lovers, not fighters. You know, we love to work things out.
Like I told JT, if I ever hear him laughing that hard at anybody else's joke with me, or you, Michael, I'm so upset. No, that was beautiful. I loved hearing him laugh like that. Okay, guys, I'm gonna get out the way and let the next board come up.
Hey, thank you, Mama. We'll talk soon. And that was Mama Ladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
I keep hearing so much. Cleveland is showing up in my life all over the place. It's amazing. Like books I'm reading, all end up in Cleveland. There's all kinds of stuff about Cleveland like showing up in my periphery right now.
Hmm.
And they all mention the food. They all mention the food, JT.
This is good to know.
I know. It's a good thing. Maybe we should talk to that booking agent about getting something in Cleveland.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that way we could go. We could tell Mama.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, make sure she gets there.
Yeah, yeah. See?
That'd be good some stuff.
Food. Be good. We could have her tell us where to go to get the real food. Maybe we'll take her to dinner or something.
Yeah.
Be good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Barbara in Connecticut. Hello, Barbara.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Mama was great. Mama and saxophone. I love saxophones. Saxophones and I. If someone plays a saxophone, that's really sexy.
So you should go on YouTube and look up Sexy Sax Man. I'm not kidding. It's a real...
In my youth, I might have dabbled a little.
No, it's...
Anyway.
I got to tell you, no, it's a parody YouTube video, but it's really funny, and I think you'd actually laugh.
Okay,
but,
I'll try if I have a zillion other things to do, so...
This takes you 2 seconds. No, okay, fair enough. All right. I'm going to step back, let you read. We'll talk after, okay?
Okay. This one I read last year when I wrote it, but I think that it just fits perfectly this week. It's called Vampire Spider. He built his web, carefully wove the strings, and each time he saw new prey, caught them in his artfully deceitful abode as they became the environment of his life, sucking their essence for his ends and moving on when they were no longer needed for him. And in this intricate construction of deceit, he resided a sated spider, sipping on each victim for his own twisted ends and leading them into the tangled criminal morass of his grimy life. As they followed his nefarious orders, he expected so much loyalty, it drained the insides of these hangers-on as they lingered like persistent hangnails on his sticky fingers, digging into the softness of the political underbody belly and dragging out the poison that has festered invisibly. Like a tiny spider, no one believed the ominous presence of this spiteful and single-minded menace who has ensnared a large group of duped individuals and has bound them in the single silken threads of his vile lies and half-truths. So they exist now as victims for this vampire. As he sucks out their faithfulness, he uses to enslave them for his vicious ends. And then, when they least expect it, he pounces and extracts their essence until they are dry and desiccated, thrown to the side, political ragdolls on the heap of history. End poem.
Very well done. Ragdolls on the heap of history. Yeah.
I wrote that last year.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? And it's, you know, the thing that I think that is so important to remember, and not like that you need to remember it, but I think anybody thinking about it, is that, you know, at least in the U.S., you know, these people work for us. You know?
Who?
The politicians. Everyone. And stuff. Yeah, they're
absolutely.
They work for us, and I don't think they remember that much either, because as long as we remember this, remember that we don't have a royal family. Remember we don't have a king or a queen or something. Suddenly when you do that, it's like, oh, this is totally a different situation.
Which is why I said what I said about the 5th of November.
Oh, yeah.
And V.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That the government should fear the people.
Yeah.
You know, your wife told me that exact same thing.
They should fear us. They should definitely fear us because... they are moving in directions that people haven't realized, and now suddenly they're coming out.
It's true.
It's like, exactly like, I mean, it's like
you walk in to your kitchen, and it's a very sad analogy, but it works. And you see a roach, and you think, oh, my God, there's one roach. And then you turn off the light, and you turn it back on again, and there's hundreds of them. And you wonder where they came from. And you realize that you didn't, you know, you should have killed that one roach because it figured it was safe and let all the others out.
You know, I think I get the analogy. It makes a lot of sense to me. I also think they should be really scared of us because no one, you've never seen JT break boards before with his bare hands. And if you saw that, people
oh,
would
JT
be,
do that?
Oh yeah, gosh. He's
that's
just,
very cool.
Yeah, he has. Do that, he, Barbara, I got to tell you, before we went
he's
independent,
a true ninja.
He scared yeah, he's the hell ninja. Out of he scared the hell out of the management. And the and all of the engineers at a radio station with just the sound of his voice, one word or two words, and it was in a conference room with a closed door, and I started laughing, and everyone else was petrified for the next 3 months. It's amazing. Anyway, but it was all for the forces
JT,
of good.
You're awesome. Yeah. Every time I learn something new about you.
Hey, I'm on a mission to let the world know that JT is more awesome than he lets other people know. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Absolutely. Promote yourself. Okay, I'm getting off this.
All right. Well, thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome. I'm just going to leave you with this one thing that I went through Watergate. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like a big, long slog. We watched it for weeks and weeks and weeks. So be prepared. This is not going to be a short experience. They want it to be, but I know it won't be.
It's like a TV show at this point. You know, it's got a season. It'll end at some point.
Yeah.
Hopefully better than Game of Thrones season 8.
Definitely. It'll have its ending. And we all hope that it will go out on the right note.
Yeah, we'll
never
see.
Never to be renewed. Yeah.
We'll
never
see.
To be renewed.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully the show gets canceled after one season. Anyway.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna get off the phone and let the next person get on, who is Jim, so he's, you know. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys next week. Great show.
Thank you.
And it was good to be here on time.
Well, yeah, you know, it was great. Isn't it nice? No.
Yeah, and one other thing, my show next week will be on next week for November. So it'll be instead of the fourth Thursday, which is Thanksgiving, it'll be the third Thursday. So anybody who wants to listen, take a listen. Okay, bye.
All right, thank you. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. No longer with Wed Wivawadio. It's hard for me not to say that. Barbara,
I know.
Like Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
Baba Wawas.
Baba Wawa.
And Wed
what am I doing?
Wed
What's
Wivawadio.
Going on?
I don't know. What are you doing?
I don't know.
Were you getting ready to sign out of Skype?
No. Not on purpose.
that's subconscious. All right, let's go now to Pennsylvania, the scariest place with writing utensils in the United States, and visit with Jim. Hello, Jim.
I'm Bob Walters, and this is 2020.
That's right.
You know, I was kind of disappointed. I was on 2020 one time, Jim, and Barbara Walters did not introduce me. It was, Phil Donaldson, the guy who looked,
yeah.
He looked kind of like Bela Lugosi, only with no sense of humor. Anyway, so how's it going, Jim? It's been a pretty good night so far. How's everything over in your end? Well, all right. What do you have for us this time?
Going to go with Fern Hill.
Okay.
There's a thing, you know, it's a little, taking it in a different direction. It's been a little depressing. or is it with some of the stuff going on of recent? Okay, so I'll get right into Fernhill. As I was young and easy under the apple boughs, about the lilting house and happy as the grass was green, night above the dingle starry, time let me hail and climb golden in the heydays of his eyes. And honored among wagons, I was prince of the apple towns, and once below a time my lordly had the trees and leaves trail with daisies and barley down the rivers of the windfall light. And as I was green and carefree, famous among the barns about the happy yard and singing as the farm was home. In the sun that is young once only, time let me play and be golden in the mercy of his means. And green and golden, I was huntsman and herdsman. The calves sang to my horn. The foxes on the hills barked clear and cold. And the Sabbath rang slowly in the pebbles of the holy streams. All the sun long, it was running. It was lovely. The hay fields high as the house. The tunes from the chimneys. It was air and plain, lovely and watery and fire green as grass. And nightly under the simple stars, as I rode to sleep, the owls were bearing the farm away. All the moon long I heard, blessed among the stables, the night jars flying with the ricks, and the horses flashing into the dark. And then to awake, and the farm, like a wanderer white, with the dew come back, the cock on his shoulder, it was all shining. It was Adam and maiden. The sky gathered again and the sun grew round that very day. So it must have been after the birth of the simple light in the first spinning place, the spellbound horses walking warm out of the winnowing green stable onto the fields of praise. And honored among foxes and pheasants by the gay house under the new-made clouds and happy as the heart was long. In the sun born over and over, I ran my heedless ways. My wishes raced through the house high hay, and nothing I cared in my sky blue trades that time allows, and all his tuneful turning so few and such morning songs before the children green and golden following him out of grace. Nothing I cared in the lamb white days that time would take me up to the swallow throng loft by the shadow of my hand. In that morning that is always rising, Not that riding to sleep I should hear him fly with the high fields and wake to the farm forever fled from the childless land. Oh, as I was young and easy in the mercy of his means, time held me green and dying, though I sang in my chains like the sea. End of poem.
First of all, great read. Second of all, That's a much longer piece than we're used to you sharing. So it's like,
yeah,
it was almost like for us filled with what felt like deceptive cadences. We're like, oh, so this is the end. No, it's not. Whoa. But it was a powerful piece and well done. I think it was exactly as long as it needed to be.
Yeah. Well, he was one of the greats.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
And it's, but I think the way you read it, owned it in its own way. To us, it's still Jim. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I tried. Well, I've heard him. I've heard a recording of him reading it. So
I'm
just trying to do my take on it.
Sure.
You know, it's for the cadence that he had.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think.
So I'm all about the imitation.
Are you? Are you all about imitation? Okay. So, like, if I say.
Well, when I read someone else's work.
Oh, okay.
like I've done like a while ago, I did the love song JF and Proof Rock. But when I was reading it, it's my take on T.S. Eliot's reading of it.
Oh, okay.
And like when I do Sylvia Plath.
Right.
And even I did Lake Isle of Innisfree one time, and it was my take on the way Yeats would read it.
Interesting.
But I can't do an Irish accent, so I didn't try.
Well, fair enough.
But yeah.
But okay, so that's interesting. I'm going to listen for that here in the future as it goes, because I think that'd be just interesting to pull apart. Jim, hey, congratulations on your new place, man.
If I've heard them read it, then my reading is an imitation of them.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, actually. All right. Well, hey, Jim, congratulations on your new place. Thanks so much for everything. We really appreciate you, buddy. And we'll talk to you next time, okay?
Yep. Probably about 2 weeks.
Okay, 2 weeks from now? Sounds good. We'll do it.
All right.
Talk to you then.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, the scariest place in the United States. Had a friend who went there, real estate agent.
Yeah.
Never came back.
Huh. Just got stuck, huh?
He was helping some older, wealthy guy try to buy a house out in California. Went out there, just never heard anything again.
Wow.
Yeah. I said.
Hmm.
Not true at all. I'm just trying to make this the idea that someone could be talking about Pennsylvania like Transylvania and just have no clue of how stupid it sounded.
Right.
I'm trying to make that work. I don't think it's working. I'm still sticking with it because why not?
Okay.
We gotta choose our battles, JT.
That's true, we
and
do.
That is a battle that I'm willing to choose. Let's go to upstate New York and talk to Zach. Hey, Zach.
Oh.
Zach, oh my gosh. Okay, so both Zach and Eric is going to be a thing. I don't know if Eric's going to know, but Zach, we cannot hear you. It's a Skype issue. It's not you. Can you hang up and call us right back, and then we can put you on the air live? Eric, it's going to be the same thing for you, my friend. All right, let's see. JT, give me a topic. Give me a topic.
Well, I've got fish in front of my face, so fish.
If I had a wish, I wouldn't be a fish. Here's Zach. That rescued me from having to pull myself out of that. Hey, Zach, how's it going?
Hey, first world problems.
That's very much first world problems. That is definitely a first world problem right there. In fact, yeah. Zach, you'd appreciate this. I used to have a game in my drama class called First World Problems, and I had this really tragic kind of music from a movie. And what the game was is I turned the music off, and these kids would walk up and basically say something just awesome to the other one, like, oh, look, hey, I made you a sandwich. And then the other person's job is to be like, they'd find something wrong with it, like, you used white bread. And then they were supposed to have just a complete meltdown over the problem, and I would start playing the tragic music really loud. And it was really a trick to get them to all really emote and feel comfortable doing it. But it was just really the frame of first world problems. It could only be things that were just not a problem at all that we were taking too seriously.
You know, that sounds like something that we need. we need first world problems. You know, we need to acknowledge them. So the we're ridiculous, but you know that's okay because someone has to be.
You know what? We might as well, but I'll be ridiculous because. Thus we are we're all that anyway, right? So I think it's cool we can perceive that. But I think my biggest regret is that dogs don't know how awesome they actually are. That's deep. That's my deep thought of the day. Anyway, Zach, I'm going to step back. I'll let you read, okay? We'll talk after.
All right, sounds good. I've actually read this one before, but, my friend is going through a tough time, and my poems have really helped her, and so tonight I shared with her It's Okay, and, just to get her back on her feet. So, it's an important poem because it's an important message that, you know, we all need to be reminded that it's okay from time to time. So, without further ado, It's Okay. It's okay to find shapes in the clouds, or stand out in the crowd. It's okay to ask your parents why, or if you feel you need to cry. It's okay to say no. It's okay if you don't know. It's okay if your dreams change as you grow. It's okay if you're wrong. It's okay if you're right. It's okay to ask for help or if you're afraid of the night. It's okay to sing. It's okay to love who you love. It's okay to believe in heaven and your God above. It's okay if you're lonely. It's okay to admit you're not okay. But remember, no matter what they say, it's okay. End of poem.
That is a really comforting piece, and I think it's a strong one that is worthwhile. And I think it also says a lot that your friend finds kind of comfort in that, you know?
Absolutely. You know, that's the whole thing about writing for me was that it was all cathartic because, you know, I could never have the, you know, I was always so worried about trying to find, you know, someone to be in a relationship with that,
right.
You know, I was never processing my emotions and I never understood how I was feeling. So, you know, being able to put myself, take myself away from life and just start writing, it was just so cathartic for me. It was so eye-opening for me.
Well, I think it's you're probably getting to a smarter place about it too, you know, because I'm one of those people who's had a lot of relationships in my life. JT
no
knows.
Comment.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
Comment.
JT has no comment. And I can tell you that I 100% would rather be in the relationship with the right person. Doesn't have to be a perfect relationship, but a relationship with the right person than in 100 relationships with the wrong person.
Amen.
You know. And so it's right. It's better, but you don't get there without learning how to work on yourself, and you don't get there without learning how to work on your own things first.
Right. It just, you know, it's just, you know, the first world problem thing of, you know, that we don't have enough time, you know, we don't have enough time. So we think, oh, here's the first person who seems to care about me. So, let's go in for it. Let's get married. Let's have babies and then get divorced 2 months later.
That's happened to me so many times, Zach. It's happened to me at least 37 times. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. But no, you're totally right. You're totally right. And it's, you got to be a little bit more, you know, you got to be a little bit more circumspect. So here's a recommendation, totally off subject because of the song. I'm just going to make a recommendation. You look something up on YouTube if you can. It's a really cool song. It's a group called Mute Math. So MuteMath. And the song is called OK or It's OK. And it reminds me a lot of your piece. In a really good way, and it might be a cool thing for you to send to your friend also. But it's I love that song, and I actually went back and found it again years later because I thought it was great.
All right, sounds good, and so you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to be on next week because next week is actually going to be the most interesting week of the year for movies because. Got three big heavy hitters coming out. We got Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood, the movie about Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers.
Yep.
Right.
And then you got Frozen 2, and then you got 21 Bridges with J.K. Simmons coming out all on the same day next Friday. So,
yeah.
You know, so I'm not sure. You'll have to see what the weather's like and everything. Yeah, so I'll let you know over the week, but so that's going to be a very interesting turnout because obviously, you know, the huge heavy hitter is Frozen 2, and then, but those other ones look really, really strong. I mean, it's Tom Hanks. I mean,
yeah.
Tom Hanks is Rogers. It's hard to go wrong with that one, too.
It would, in a weird way, though, if it did go wrong, I'd be even more interested because I'd be like, what did they do wrong?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be great. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great.
Well, see, that's the thing is that I was watching it, and it's set in modern day. It's set in modern times, even though, like, he's interviewing him in modern times, even though the show ended in the 50s and the 60s.
That's true.
Or in the like 80s, I think.
Right,
but,
I think it was the late 80s, I think, wasn't it? Or was I watching reruns?
No. He ended like early mid 90s, somewhere around there.
Early mid 90s.
He went a long time.
He dedicated himself completely to it too, which was amazing.
And it was one of the shows that actually taught people lessons, you know. Right.
2001.
What?
2001. I'm sorry, Zach. Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow. So, all that was happening. And then, and that's why I love Disney Plus. I got Disney Plus, so I can watch all the shows that used to teach you lessons. And I am watching Gargoyles for the first time. And
JT, you like that show?
Sorry. Good show.
All right. Well, there you go. JT loves that show.
All right. Well, I've taken enough of your guys' time. I will let the final poet step up. And it was a good Studio X. It was a good poetry open mic, as always. And I will talk to you guys next week.
Hey, thank you, sir. Talk to you then as well.
All right.
All right. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York. Yes. Yes. All right. We're probably going to have to tell Eric to call us, you think?
Yeah, probably.
He's probably eating that good
steak. Check.
Yeah, it's good. Double check. Hey, Eric, if you are listening to this, Eric, we have that Skype issue. So if you could call us right back, we would appreciate it. In the meantime, I found a song title generator.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Okay.
Here's choices.
But he's here.
Okay.
Look how fast that is.
That's awesome. Hey, Eric, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, no problem. No problem. We're happy to do it, man. And thanks for calling us back. Sorry about that. It's frustrating. We're going to let you read, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All right. It was a dark and stormy day, and the kids had nothing to do besides cut the wall. And one of them cut a door. And then monsters came out and ate them. The end. Or is it? That's the end piece.
Oh, man.
Eric, that was ridiculous.
Great.
Yeah. That's right. You actually liked that one on my page when it was written.
Yeah, I did. I remember.
My 10-year-old nephew, one of I have 14 all together.
Oh my gosh,
this is a nephew, so
that's a huge family. That's a long. Huge amount. My gosh.
Yeah Well, they believe in multiplying and replenish the earth, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
put it politely. But anyways, I asked him to write me a little micro story, and that's what he wrote me. So
I remember reading that, and I thought it was just so good and funny, and I'm really happy you read it.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, no
and
problem.
Go ahead.
No, I was being quiet for you.
Oh, okay. My friend in Germany, he's actually a poet on Facebook too. And he actually did my fourth and fifth book's covers, and he also formatted my book and did all my CG art in my books, too.
Oh,
but
awesome.
Anyways, he said that he wants to publish that on his e-zine for next year in Halloween.
Oh, cool.
So I told my nephew, and he was like, oh, wow, the story's becoming famous. I was like, yeah, something like that. And he was happy.
That's great.
So, yeah, it's like 19 likes. So
it's a big deal to get something like that, especially when you're that age, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, I had asked all my nieces and nephews to write me some short stories that were completely made up, that they made up, and I was going to write them and put them in a collection for them, and then I'd get them published as well. But they didn't really want to do that. So
well, it's so the one person who did, huh? That's awesome.
That's right. Yeah. So one of them did, and my other nephew that's older than him, he's 11, and he's about to be having his birthday here in a little while too. But he actually wrote this. They had this little horror story booklet that they made in school, and you could write your own story. And it was like a harvest beast or whatever.
Okay.
And that was pretty cool. I don't have it with me right this second, but it was cool that they could actually do that too.
Absolutely,
so.
It is. Absolutely. I think this is.
Because I actually didn't get my first published poem until I was in college after I got out of the Navy. And I got three poems published after submitting to 37 online magazines and then print ones.
It happens.
I got like 15. Yeah. I got 15, but I got three. And then I got my first published poem in college in an actual literary arts and actual art as well magazine too. So
wow.
So
well, hey man,
it's a
good for him.
It's a cool experience. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, hey Eric, appreciate it, man. Give him our congratulations. Tell him that we loved it as well. And man, we look forward to talking with you next time we can connect.
I definitely will do, and maybe I'll post and read some more.
Sounds good.
Later on.
All right, sir. Appreciate that. We'll talk soon, okay?
See you later.
All right, sir. Talk to you then. And that was Eric calling from Tejas.
Very good, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So, everyone, it's been a great show tonight. It really has. Next week, we'll be unveiling the identity of our poet. Wait. Hold on. I just saw that I have a message.
Oh,
Barbara, Prince McNally wants to call in. Should we just do it, set it up so he wants to call? We know Prince. It's been a while. Yeah, just let him know. Let him know to try to call in. We'll give him like 1 or 2 minutes to do it before he does. If that works. But you know, Prince. Yeah, you know. Normally we wouldn't do it, but Prince has been a friend of the show in the past. You remember Prince, right?
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Well, no, I thought so.
No,
yeah.
I know. Yeah, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. But when you tell me, do I know Prince? I'm like, well, which Prince are we talking about? I mean, there's a lot of them in this world, and
well, that's true.
One's a rock and roll
artist. There are a lot of Princes. All right, let's see.
I told him he might.
Well, is this a might or that he is going to?
Is he going to? Because
this is good radio right now.
Yeah. Waiting for the inevitable.
Okay. So, Barbara, I appreciate you asking. Either way, we're just going to wrap this then because we don't really know what's going on. So, everyone, thank you so much for this. That was an amazingly climactic ending. but we really do appreciate you spending this Friday evening with us, sharing your work, sharing your personality, and just the community that we have here. We love it. So from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, from JT and myself, thank you for spending this time with us. We will see you next week. And until then, keep writing. Good night.
Out on the scene today, blasted in every way, got you caught on the other side. Some things you just can't hide.